Paul, you sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare me
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, be tried and true. Amen.
With thanksgiving, I'll be uplifted,
sanctuary
before you.
Amen and amen. It's to be a sanctuary for the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading, and we'll try to finish the. I want to just kind of review the message a little tonight and on what we've been doing, and then just have comments, questions and answers or whatever. So you be thinking about the things while we're just speaking and kind of review over and just, you know, make kind of a total capstone, if you want to call it, out of what tonight, where we can just, you know, say, well, that's what he believes. And that'll be the main thing. Now remember, there'll be no Bible study this Saturday. It will be next Saturday, be on the second Saturday, and that Brother Harris and Brother Aaron will be taking the services this weekend, and we will be in Oklahoma, so you'll be much in prayer for us there as we travel and everything. And then remember the announcements that we've made, that not this coming weekend now, but the next one will be Brother Douglas will be with us the next weekend, Brother Prakash, probably the next one, Brother Quinn, and I mean somewhere in there it'll be here, and different ones, and Brother Nestor from the Philippines will be with us. So just remember these that are coming in and speaking for us, and pray that the Lord would bless us all. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we know one thing for sure, Lord, that there's nothing good in none of us, and it wouldn't be nothing to together tonight but for one purpose, and that's together to hear from you. So we ask you to just bless now and guide each one and just keep us all, Lord, and touch each one. Remember the sick among us. And Lord, just remember Brother Jeffries, our Father, and just be with him. And Lord, deliver him from that condition. And we pray that you would just show us, you know, yourself in all things, that we may know for a surety that all things work together for good to them that are thee called according to your purpose. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thy grace and keep us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back and just read verse 1 down through verse 8. Right? Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. In this series, it's about the 18th message we've had on it, and you know, it come out from a point of someone just saying, would you please speak on the stature of a perfect man? Well, I hope it's been a help to you, what has been said and what we've tried to cover and all throughout the series. But God has always, we were talking down there a while ago about, you know, the purpose of creating man. And Brother Rand said it was for fellowship. He said God was lonely. And said, then God wanted fellowship. So he created man, and then that was a spiritual man, but he still couldn't fellowship the way he wanted, so he created a natural man and put him in the garden to till the soil And that's the thing that the natural man is to do, you know. And but before anything could happen into that God could bring forth as he desired, we know that Satan entered the picture and caused the fall. Well, that hasn't stopped God. It may have changed the time elements. It may have made it, you know, to where that it would have to be a longer time to do it, but God is still going to have his purpose for creation of man. And I believe he enjoyed that little bride there at Pentecost, you know, in the Bible, where he could walk in them and fulfill his ministry and everything and fellowship in them and all of that. But see, then we know that that fell away. But see, then he still wasn't going to stop because he was going to keep on going. All right? So he was determined because he'd already said, I will restore. I'll take care of it. I'll bring it to the place, and he will have a bride that he can walk in and live in. Now, it'll be the choice is ours as to whether or not how much we want him to dwell in us. I hope that's the point that you've been able to understand from what I've been talking about, is how much we can yield ourselves to him and let him live through us and you know, bring that way. That would be the thing that, you know, he wants to have preeminence in the little bride. And preeminence is not just to be there as an onlooker. It's not even to be there as a, you know, as a partner type or that way to fellowship. It's to live in us. All right? And see, that's what the stature of a perfect man is about, to where that he can come and dwell in us. All right? Then see, we know that the prophet, as we taught it, the prophet said, you're born again at faith. Now, I know he goes on up in later and says, you're not born again and or not got the Holy Ghost yet or something when you get up to brotherly kindness. But don't turn down what he's already said, because he's already said you're born again at faith. All right, so the faith, that's the faith of God. That's not your faith. That's what God has given you. And see, that's why faith is not an ad. Faith is a birth. All right. So it doesn't say add faith.
Right.
It talks about faith and talks about how that the Peter is telling the people, you've escaped the corruption that is in the world and all of the things because you're born again.
Right.
And you have faith. But now what you need to do is add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience.
Right.
Well, see, there's only one way that can be done.
Right.
And that's through the opening of the Word.
Amen.
I mean, there's no way that you can beat people into to virtues. You can't beat them into anything.
Right. Amen.
See, that's what I see about the ministers around the land. They're trying to beat the people into a position, and you can't do it.
Right.
Preach it. Who was the man said, was it Luther was talking about faith? Or who was it that said, you know, I'll preach faith till we get faith? Somebody made that statement, said, well, we'll just preach faith until we get faith. Well, that's the only way that you can ever come to a position for it to be the right kind of faith.
Right.
It is for the hearing of the Word.
Right.
There's no way now, and I hope you've caught one point out of this, that once the way to grow into the stature of a perfect man was eaten away, which was the Word,
right.
Not the Holy Spirit,
right.
The Word,
amen,
was eaten away. And once the Word was eaten away, no one could attain unto this position.
Right.
I don't care who you are.
Right.
See? And Brother Branham wasn't just automatically born with it.
Right.
He had to grow into it.
Yeah.
So that's why it said it took him 30-something years to preach the stature of a perfect man. Because
right.
He had to grow in the Word.
Right.
It had to develop in him
right.
To build that up. And there was no way anybody else, I don't care how good they are or whatever the things takes place, that doesn't, you know, and as far as God is concerned, that doesn't have anything to do with it. It's what he said about the Word.
Right?
See, so then we know how to receive those things is by the opening of the Word.
Amen.
We know how to grow in grace and knowledge. What? By the opening of the Word.
Right.
Right. See, and that's all I've ever tried to do, to preach the truth, preach the Word. Because now, listen, I was talking to my wife about something the other night. I want to just say a word here. A lot of people will say in the message, you know, they'll say, well, them people down there, they're in the second pool. They're not up here in the third pool where we are. Now, there's no such thing.
Right. Amen.
The second pool is the preaching of the gospel.
Right.
The truth. The preaching of the word. The sowing of the seed. That's the second pool. That's what your prophet said it was. It's the sowing of the seed. The denominations can't sow the right seed.
Right.
It's a perverted. The denomination of this message is not sowing the right seed. They're not in the second pool. They're not even in the first pool. They're not even in the first pool of the prophet bringing it. See? First pool is opening of the word. Second pool is opening of the word. Third pool is opening of the entire word. But you see, people think that, well, I just have these virtues. I'll just have them. I'm supposed to have them. I'll just have them. Well, now you can't do that. God has to give them to you and cement them together in your life. And that's why it's been so long. It's our fault. Right? It's not God's fault. He's given us the entire word, but it's our fault.
Right?
Now, we're the problem. And see, then the problem is we get all tied up and we don't want to hear the word preached. You know, because that's just too boring to just preach the word. We want to see this. We want to do that. We want to shout and glory, hallelujah. Well, I do too. But I like to know what I shout about. Now, I like to be sure that when I jump up, I know where I'm going to land. Because the prophet said, what was his words about it? He said, no matter how high you jump, just make sure you can walk straight when you come back down. What? Walk in the word. What? See, then the people of this message are talking about, we're in the third pool, we're in the second pool, we're in this, or we're in the third pool, but they're in the second. No. Only the bride that's walking in the word is anywhere whatsoever in God's plan. His plan is not to save the children of man. I preached a sermon there in the middle of it, you know, about the point of where adoption. God is not going to adopt the worldly children. God is going to adopt His own children. Only those who can stand it.
Right.
And you let the pressure just keep coming on.
Right.
You let it keep coming. It's coming now. You let it just keep coming. And you're going to see people fall apart.
Right.
But I've warned you over and over and over for almost 40 years that it's going to come a time that it's going to look like that you ain't got nothing.
Right.
And you're going to have to stand on what you believe. You're going to have to stand on what you believe and hold on to that. But don't worry about it. God will move on the scene then. But He's going to try the little bride. He's going to try her to see if she'll stay with the word. He's even sent, the prophet said it this way, I didn't say it. He said He even sent gifts and different things. You know, He sent the things among the people. What? Cankerworm, palmworm, locust, caterpillar. He allowed that to come. Word to try us.
Right.
And then in getting in the end time to where the anointed ones.
Right.
To try you and me.
Right.
To see if we'll follow after the wrong thing.
Right.
See, but just keep right on going. Keep right on going in the word.
Amen.
And just keep walking. Because see, we're going to walk right into it and then walk right out. But see, that's what's so hard to try to get people to understand, because once you try to preach it like that, they think you're cold and formal. That you're not looking for something. I hope you call what I preach Sunday what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a refilling of the Holy Ghost that'll fill every fiber of our being and take us into rapture. I'm looking for that. I believe in a filling every day of the Holy Ghost. I believe in many fillings. One new birth. But many fillings. Many times that God comes down and anoints us and quickens the word to us and we see things. I believe in that. But there's one thing that we have to do is just walk as He did. Just walk. And that's what I've tried to get you to see of the statue of a perfect man. Faith is not an ad, it's a birth. Then you say, yeah, but the prophet said, we're not born again till we get on up here. That's exactly right. Why? Because all of it is a new birth. All of it is being born again. Faith is being born again. Virtue is being born again. Knowledge is being born again. I believe in many filling. Go back and read the book of Acts. They came together after the Holy Ghost had fell and got a refilling of the Holy Ghost. And you know whose problem it is, the reason we don't get one? Ours.
Amen.
You saying, well, Brother Dale, if you just preach it, where we could, how can you preach it? Did Peter and them preach any sermon that brought the Holy Ghost into the upper room? Now, after the Holy Ghost came, this is where you and I ought to be. After the Holy Ghost came, that cornerstone that was in them could stand right there and preach a sermon that the Holy Ghost could come right down and quicken it.
Right. Amen.
Didn't it come by the preaching of the Word? But what come in the upper room was because of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what brought that, because he sowed that seed. That's what I've tried to get you to see about it. He didn't trust that with nobody.
Right.
You think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is just dire? No, it's not. That's a very, very important. He didn't trust nobody to bring that.
Right.
He come himself. See, that's what he wants to do. Then he wants to be in the end time just like he was back there. That's where I preached that sermon, you know, about same ministry. Same ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ has got to be in the bride before the rapture can come. Same ministry has got to be there before the headstone can come. Not to just play around and talk about it. It's got to be there. And if it's not there, that's where the trouble's at. But see, church, we ended up talking about the headstone. What is the headstone? What is the cornerstone? The cornerstone, the Bible said we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And who is Jesus Christ? The Word.
Amen.
Who was the cornerstone back there? The Word. What's the headstone going to be? The Word.
Right.
Not the dead letter.
Right.
Not to just quote it and talk about it.
Right.
But for it to be revealed in you and I.
Amen.
Right. All right. Then once it's revealed to you and I, God can make it manifest.
Right.
First he does it. Then he reveals it. Then he makes it manifest. Is that the way it goes? But you see, he's expecting you and I to walk into this without being, you know, thrown for a loop because of what's going on around us. Yeah. I mean, the situation we're sitting in right now, the government could take over this thing any day. And I told you in 74 they passed that law. That you can't travel over 25 miles to church. You think the devil ain't wanting to push that on us? He knows the people of this message travel like everything to get to church. And you think he's not wanting to enforce that? But see, when he does, what are you going to do? To a lot of people, it'll be a good excuse. They try to find one every Sunday to miss, or Wednesday, you know, or Tuesday. They try to find one to miss. And lay out and everything. Why? Because they're not concerned. What would you do if I laid out like you did? Come on. I mean, what if you showed up and I didn't come? Well, where's Brother David? He decided not to come today. See, we're fixing to have good excuses for not going to church. Then what are you going to do about it? Well, I'll just take my little family and we'll just gather up under the in the den and we'll just, amen, I hope you do. But will you put forth any effort whatsoever to get to church? To do whatever you can do. I mean, they killed them to start with because they're having church. Now we're going to have a governmental excuse. We can't travel. But that's where it's coming to, see? Because God is going to try you and I. Now, this is what I want to say tonight because it's on my heart. God is going to try you and me to see whether or not we'll stay with the Word. When everybody else fails and falls around, he's going to try you. See whether you're not, whether you'll stay with the Word or not. And he's going to give you every excuse to do something else. Now, if he would send among us even the anointing to anoint people to where you can't hardly tell the difference, the only way you can know whether they're anointed or not is watch what they do with the word, right?
Right.
Is that the only way you can know?
Right.
How can you know about the anointing?
Right.
Billy Paul told his daddy, you remember when he told that lady would die at 2 or 3 o'clock, or what it was? Billy Paul went into a meeting, and they had gifts and things, and they come out and said she wasn't going to die. And brother Billy Paul said, Daddy, it was the Holy Ghost that said that. What did he say? Well, I guess I failed. He said, Billy, God ain't told me no different. I'm not saying it wasn't the Holy Ghost on them people and gifts, are you? Are you going to say it wasn't? You're going to be talking against God. That's your problem. But you see, it's whether or not what the Word says.
Amen.
Right? And then we've got to stay with that Word. Because that's the cap of it all. If there's any capstone whatsoever to this world of, the bride in the end time, it's the revealed Word.
Amen.
Now I proved that to you where the prophet said it was those capping stones was the headstone that come into the temple. Then the Shekinah glory fell. Now that was in the days of Solomon. All right, that was in also when Zerubbabel, rebuilt the temple I was talking about Sunday. He rebuilt the temple, cleaned all, went back to the foundation, rebuilt the temple. They brought back in the Word of the Lord, the Ten Commandments. And when they did, then the Shekinah glory fell. Those Ten Commandments was the headstone, the prophet said, the capping stone. What are we looking for as a capstone or a headstone? I gave you some quotes, and I've got them in there now. I'm working on trying to print off some because it's going to take quite a while to do it. I've got about half of them done on capstone, headstone, things the prophet said about those things to try to save you from having to look up things. It's going to take about probably 20 different pages of stacks to do it from, but to try to show you what the prophet has said about these things. But in summing it all up, what is it? The revealed Word. The revealed Word, not the letter. I never taught nothing about the letter, but there's one thing that I have taught, and I still believe it, and I believe it'll always be believed and taught on, is one thing for sure. You can't have the revelation until you first hear the Word. Yeah. Because the Bible said faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word. You got to hear it first.
Right.
So if you ain't got it planted in the field, you ain't going to get no corn when the harvest comes, right? Now you can blame dry weather on anything. Right? You can say, well, it's just dry weather is what's done it. It's them dry preachers, in other words. I'm saying. It's dry weather, No. If you don't plant corn, you're not going to get any corn. And if there's any moisture whatsoever, you can find out whether it's corn or not. Because when it sticks up its head just a little bit, you'll know it's corn.
Right.
So don't blame the drought of anybody saying, well, if we just had this or we had that. No. If you got the corn, if you got the goods, it'll take care of it.
Right.
That's where I'm not worried about that. They'll be a bride because the Bible says they'll be a bride.
Right.
They'll be a bride because the prophet said they'd be a bride. Well, now what you and I have to worry about is whether or not we're part of it. If we're not part of it, then it's not God's fault. Because He's given us everything to make it to work. This is our forest. It's like I told you when Brother Moat preached the Statue of a Perfect Man there in 71. I asked him, I said, how do I get these virtues? I'm serious. I wanted to know. It's just like all these brothers around the country. They're up in the headstone. They're over here. They're over there. How did they get up there? I want to know. Come on, it's going out on the internet. Call me. I'll give you the pulpit
right.
And let you preach to us how to get up there.
Right.
But if it ain't the truth, when you get through, I'll take care of it.
Right.
So when I say that, they're not going to call. But see, I'm serious. I want to know how to get somewhere. It's like I told a certain brother about a lodge he was in one time. And I was talking to him about it, and I said, now listen, brother, the only thing I got to say to you is they say they got some secrets that'll help us.
Right.
And if they won't tell you that secret to help you,
right,
then there's something wrong.
That's right.
Right. I mean, I said, I ain't against them.
Right.
They're doing marvelous work. But if they got some kind of a secret that can make me a better person and won't tell me, then they got a problem. Because God's always trying to tell us how to get where we're supposed to be. It took from 71 to about 1980 when God spoke to me and said, the preaching of the word brings the virtues. I said, well, God, I've been trying to do that all the time. And that's when he told me, he said, you preach the word, I'll back it up. Well, I'm never worried about it. I just preach what he give me.
Amen.
And just try to walk on in what he's given me. Why? Because it's up to him to back it up.
Right.
I can't back it up. You can't reveal it.
Right.
You can't make it manifest. It takes him to make it manifest.
Right.
But now if we won't make ourselves available, there's where our trouble's at.
Right.
The prophet in 1963 preached the seals, right? We've been 40 years studying them. Well, whose problem is it then? Yours and mine. You see, the stature of a perfect man has to be the nature of Almighty God brought into you and I by the revealed word. It's not an automatic process of just, this will fall here and that will fall there and it will just stay. No. It takes the revealed word to temper the body. I was looking at something there a while ago that I'd spoken back there about, you know, when not being mixed with faith and the word temper. How that word temper there, how that you temper metal, you know. You weld two pieces together, remember the message? Until the two pieces become one. And the Bible in Corinthians there talks about the body being tempered together. And that's what he's talking about. You can't separate the parts of my body. They all have the same DNA makeup. They all have the same connection. There's no certain thing there that, you know, no, it's just all one body. It's all one body. And the stature of a perfect man is the very nature of Almighty God. And the nature of Almighty God would require the Word of God. Yet we look at it as something and saying, well, you know, well, I seen you get upset. Forgive me. But you know what hurts the feelings? Is when I look back at you and say, I seen you get upset. You ain't supposed to bring that up. You ain't supposed to talk about like that. You got mad because I brought it up about you. No. No.
Huh?
We've all got problems. And we need to work on them. Right. But let's don't make this thing, as I've said it over and over, and I'm saying it one time final for the last, and then you get ready for comments and questions. Don't make this thing so big that we can't reach it. But don't make it so little until we just fall into it. Jesus Christ was God's plan to bring man, you know, the way to where that we could come back to the position he wanted Adam to be in. And as he did, look what he went through. And he was Almighty God. Did he live in a flowery bed of ease? No. Everybody was against him. Everywhere he turned, there was against him. Even his disciples, that he had done everything he could to plan, they couldn't understand him. But listen, church, God is not just going to haphazardly throw this thing together.
Right.
He's going to build it.
Amen.
And we have the opportunity to follower in the building.
Amen.
If we don't, then it's our fault. That's one thing that you can't say about Brother Dale, that I've tried to preach about trying to beat you to line you up. I've tried to preach to us, to get us all to a place to see who we are and what we need to be doing. And to see Jesus Christ and what His nature and ways is and try to follow thereafter. Right? See, because that's what I want you to see. That's what I want all of us to be. Because that's what I believe God wants it to be. God wants children that will take His word and follow His word. No matter what happens around us. I mean, you take everybody in the Bible and you look at them at the coming to the end of the day, it looked real bad, didn't it? The Apostle Paul getting his head chopped off. Everybody in the Bible always coming to the end of a ministry and things, it was always in trouble, right? Look at Brother Branham from 400,000 or something in India or over there or Africa or whatever, down to a half a dozen in a trailer. Looked like he'd lost everything. Brother Branham said about Paul, he said to people who'd say, Paul, we used to remember when you would just call it right down, you'd just call them out. And said, now it looks like you're totally defeated. That was a crowning day because we would not have the scripture. Because Brother Branham said that's where it come from. When Paul said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? We wouldn't have had that had he not been put in that place. So what would it matter if we all went right down to the end of it and that's facing us, death? What are we going to do? If God is in us, He will provide a way. But yet, the prophet never took back all he said about being physically bereft and being at the mercy of the elements and being thrown in jail for praying for the sick and all of that. He laying on hands and that. He never took all them back. But you see, you start bringing that out. People say, I don't think the bride's going to go through that. I'm not talking about the tribulation. The tribulation is the wrath of God. Amateur tribulation is not the wrath of God poured out. It's the devil in the doings. But what about when God turns it around? There won't be no excuse. But you see, the stature of a perfect man is exactly what it is. There's only one perfect man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And He adds to you and I these virtues to bring His nature into us. That's His purpose. That's what He wanted to do with Adam back there. But before He could bring it forth the way He wanted, Adam had already fallen. But now He's here for a bride. So what if there's only a half a dozen of them? So what if the prophet would be right when he said only one out of a state? But of course he turned around later and said millions. You know. But see, he said if there's only one out of a state, I've got to believe I'm the only one in Georgia that's going to make it. But now you've got to believe that. So you've got to believe that you're the only one. Why? Because God living in you and I. See, as we went on down later there, Sunday talking about, for an entrance, verse 11, shall be ministered unto you. An entrance. A stature of a perfect man. Made manifest in you and I. Now I'm going to say this part, so get ready. So that's why I've always believed. You're born again in your soul. I tried to teach it that way. You're born again in your soul. You're not born again in your body. You're not born again in your spirit. You're born again in your soul. Alright? Now, then in doing that, those virtues coming into you and I are brought into being in our soul. Right? Because it's an addition of God's Word. Right? Or birth of the Word. But see, our spirit is supposed to display that back out.
Right.
Amen. That's where your spirit is involved in it. The spirit displays that back out that others can see it. You remember when we was in the part of the message where the prophet said we had to have a pice and a way to let it out?
Right.
Now, but you see, then our body will just be making manifest what our spirit is motivating us to be.
Right. Amen.
But that's where the catch of it is. That you can have the anointing on your spirit.
Right.
Now, not these virtues.
Right.
These virtues are not the anointing of the spirit.
Right.
Now, come on. I hope you caught that through the message. If you don't, I'll put it in right now. The virtues are not an anointing of the spirit.
Right. Right.
The virtues are the birth of the Word in your soul.
Right.
The nature of God.
Amen.
Right. The spirit is the spirit. That's why the spirit can be poured out upon all flesh. That's why anointed ones can be here, because the Spirit is poured out upon them. But to the true bride, who is she? The Spirit is poured out on you and I also. But the Spirit being poured out on you and I quickens the Word.
Amen.
But it can't quicken non-seed. It can't quicken my ideas or your ideas that are contrary to God's Word. Cannot be quickened. So then it's the birth of the Word. And when we get out of here, this is what I love. When we get out of here, we get a message of cheer down to the endless ages. This thing is not over just because you and I go in a rapture. That's just the beginning of what God would want to bring into being. Because He's going to give us a message of cheer down to the endless ages. We sang that song, More About Jesus. Who do you think it's going to be about?
Right.
But see, the stature of a perfect man is exactly what it is. The stature of a perfect man. There's only one perfect man, and that's Christ Jesus. Go ahead, Josh, turn this one on. I'll give this to Wade. All right? So now listen. These virtues are a birth of the Word. Let's just don't play with anointings. You say, you don't believe in anointing, Brother Dale? Yes, sir. Wonderful. But I know what the anointing is. It's supreme power, the prophet said, in control. Well, when you witness that sometime, you'll know what you're talking about. When you see that you're not afraid of anything, then you don't have to worry about it. It's right in our Word. But you see, I've tried to just deliver what I could see to you about it. We'll move on now. We've got a few more topics. If you want anything else, be sure. I got a contact from my brother last night, I believe it was, night four or one. He said, I want you to come do some teaching. I said, I'll be glad to do it. Quick as I get time. I'd love to. I said, but I'd rather just come sit down and talk to you. I'd rather do that. I'd rather just go sit down and talk to the preachers and let them go preaching. Just talk to them. Just fellowship around the Word and then just let them preach it. Because see, it's not going to make me indifferent to me. I'd like to see this message get out. You know, the truth of the message. Not to just say, oh, they're in the second pool, we're in the third pool. Now, that's something wrong there. If the second pool is the preaching of the gospel, then the gospel's got to be preached in truth. Anybody got any comments, questions, or anything about what I've preached, about what I've said, you know, on the Stature of Perfect Man series? Just open up and give you a time. You got an hour. Anybody that would have any comments, questions, thoughts. And remember, listen. You say a question. I don't want to ask this question because it's too simple. There has never been a simple question. Because if you have a question, you're stopped right there until God gives you the answer. All right? Because that question is right there in front of you all the time. And you're stopped right there until you get rid of that question. You say, well, I don't want to ask questions because, you know, people will think that I don't know nothing. That's the way you learn, is by asking questions, you know. And like I've always told you, I never considered myself to be a smart man. You know, a highly educated person. I don't have to worry about that. And I told you what an educated person is, you know. A smart man, if there's ever been a smart man, this is my interpretation of one. If you want to call me that, I'll be glad to say that I'm a smart man in this way. A smart man is the one who knows where to get the answer. Not the man that has the answer. I don't have all the answers. I got a lot of questions. But I know where to get it, the answer for it. I just have to keep waiting on him to give me the answer. A smart person is one who knows where to get the answer. And it doesn't bother me to go and say it like this. The first time Aaron back there, that I talked to him on the phone years ago before he ever come down here, he asked me a question. I told him right then, I said, I don't know the answer to it. He said, my goodness, that I've talked to the man that I thought knowed everything and said, he can't even answer my question. I said, you messed up when you thought you talked to the man that knowed everything. There's only one man that knows everything. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Brother Branham didn't know everything. He had questions. Right. Come on, who would be first? Anybody? Any comments, thoughts? Now we try to get this on tape because Brother Richard and them, they hear these tapes and they want to hear what your thoughts are.
I just caught something the very last part of the preaching today, because my father always wonders about, you know, how these other preachers out in the world have, they can, you know, pray for the sick and they get well. And you've just said that, you know, God said that he will pour his spirit upon all flesh, so that has to be fulfilled, just like
exactly.
That. But what matters is when the Spirit is poured on you, is there any word in there to be quickened? And I think that's where the difference now comes in, to know who the true seed is and who the other people are.
Exactly.
So now I can see why it's important to really get to know the word.
Exactly. They that know their God shall do exploits.
Amen.
Not even they that know about God.
Right.
They that know their God.
Right.
They that. But you see, by God pouring out, let me just say a word about this, what she said. By God pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Right? You know, anointed ones, they're good people. Don't de-Christianize those people because they're not in this message. Don't lambast the people of the world because they can't believe what you believe.
Right.
You know, there was a time you did. I mean, there was a time you didn't know it. What was you? See? But God allows it to happen. See? To test you and I to see what we're going to do about it. Because like she said, like people out there now, they're preaching. There's people that's preaching. Healing's happening. Signs and miracles are happening. All kind of things are happening all around the world. Because the Spirit of God is there. Brother Ryan said they take this to part of the Word and they make it work. All right. But now here's the other side of it. See, they don't want all the truth, and they know if they preach the truth, they're not going to get their signs and wonders happening. I mean, you never heard Oral Roberts and all of those men, and I'm not against them, I'm just telling you the truth about it. And you know what? You never heard those men preaching like Brother Branham preached. Now, they didn't do it. They didn't get out there and lambast the women and scream and holler about all of the organizations. And they was all wanting to be one. And that's why they could get the workings among them. You see, the little bride, she wants the word. She wants the word. Because that's her husband. Amen? That's her husband. What they do. That's just like right over there. I'm not against Buster and him and his church. I wish that this over here was a church. It wouldn't bother me. I have no fear about them taking over. Thank God that there's people out there that there's healings and signs and wonders. I mean, if I read in the paper tomorrow, you know, people would say, if you read in the paper tomorrow where the Pope would bless 10 people and they'd all be healed, you'd say, oh, that's just the anointed ones. I wouldn't say that. I'd say, thank God. They got healed. Because truly, God is the only healer. Praise God for what to do. This trumped the scripture, right? Didn't they come to Jesus and said, well, they're out here doing this, and out here doing that. And wasn't it him that said, if they're not against us, they're for us, or something to that degree? How was it? Leave them alone. But yet me and you walk in that word. Thank you, sis. Because that's the one thing that I've always wanted everybody to see. Word first, signs and wonders will follow it. Always will.
On the capstone message, you know, when we do something, a project, to cap something off is to finalize it. You know, that's how I always use the word, capping right. Something. It's not something coming in
exactly.
On top. And you cannot cap an unfinished project.
Right.
And I can see why you've got to have all that before it's capped.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, so that's, I understand
exactly.
That too.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen for that. Who'll be next? For that.
Brother, I just want to say that I have very much appreciated this series.
Amen.
I went back and read the book, and I encourage everybody here, if you haven't read it in the last little while, go back and read it. You're going to find things you didn't see before.
Amen.
In that book, you talk about, and you've taught us ever since I've been here, about the importance of the Holy Ghost. I read today in Romans where it says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His.
Exactly.
All right. We've got to come to that place of having that Spirit. And then, and everybody says, well, how do you get these virtues and whatnot? Brother Branham says it's the Holy Ghost place to lead you up through that pyramid and see to it that you get them. As long as we stay yielded to Him and seeking Him,
okay.
It'll happen. I've been one of those that said, well, why doesn't more visible things go on? I think to me, the Lord showed me in this series, it's because we haven't made enough effort to get to the place of the Holy Spirit. I looked at that and I said, okay, that's where the disciples were, and that's where they had to be before they could move out and have the ministry of Jesus Christ. God don't do things two different ways. So if they had to have it to get the ministry of Jesus Christ, we've got to be in that same spot.
Right.
And it put a tremendous more amount of desperation on me to understand and move up through that pyramid and come to the place. It's like Brother Brown said, God don't use you, but may do that and use you one time.
Exactly.
But you can't be used that one time if you're not at the right place.
Right. Exactly. 30 years for one sermon.
Right.
But what if you had 29 years and then tried to preach a sermon? What if you was 29 and a half trying to preach? See, 30 years, he said, for one sermon. This is all God anyway, folks. It's not me and you. The quicker we realize that, the more. But yet, if we're not there available, He can't have any. He's got to have us to work through. He don't have to have. He can speak this thing into existence in any form. But He chose that a way to have you and I to end this thing up. I was going to speak this way tonight, but I said, well, surely people know it. See, most of the people of this message, I say the biggest portion of them, believe that we're headstone people. You know, we're headstone people. We're capstone people. Now, what do you mean? Faith, the bottom of the pyramid, wasn't people. That was Christ. Would you agree? The new birth, was that not Christ? It was in people. Amen. Each one of those virtues, brotherly kindness, that's in people, right? But it's Christ. The headstone is Christ, the revealed word, in the people. That's why I've preached the way I have. Because she's the final amorphe. You know, I was thinking the other day, people say, well, where in the world do you get a quote that we're the final amorphe? And I just, somebody spoke right out in the outside out there and just said it, and I just walked off. Brother Brown said he amorphied with the people on the day of Pentecost. I mean, in Jesus Christ. He said he amorphied in the people on the day of Pentecost. We're the final amorphe. We're the part of the Word, sure. And we're the group of people that they will come and say, if you didn't come, we wouldn't be here. But we're not headstones. He's the headstone. But he's got to be made manifest in you. So now that makes you co-equal with him. Right? Who else? Come on, I'll get started. Sister Susan.
Okay, I think that I understand that the virtues are all the nature of Jesus Christ, and he's the chief cornerstone. Right. My question is each virtue the cornerstone for that age?
Yeah, that'd be a good statement. For that age. I mean,
right, for that age.
For that time.
Right.
Because
right.
It'd be Christ. It would be the stone of
right.
that
I mean,
age.
It's Christ, that's fine. All of it's Christ, I understand. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like faith would be the cornerstone for Ephesus.
Right.
Building on that.
Because yeah, each one of them's a stone, and you could call it a cornerstone. That's fine. That wouldn't be any problem as long as you understood, you know, the point of what...
That all of it's the chief cornerstone.
All of it is Christ. And see, like you said Sunday, what the most people don't understand is that the cornerstone is the entire pyramid except the headstone.
Right.
Everybody thinks the cornerstone is down at faith, and then you go on up. Now the cornerstone is the faith of the fathers, and all the way from where it says Holy Ghost, brotherly right. kindness, all the way down. That's the cornerstone. So then it is part of a stone, and you could call it that. That'd be fine. It wouldn't change anything. Because we're the stones. And that's what I was trying to say there a moment ago. Somebody's got to make manifest the headstone. And you know who it is? You and I.
Right.
Okay. My other question is the faith of the fathers all of Christ in the church?
For the time, yeah.
Right. Okay.
The faith of the fathers is all Christ in the church. That would be fine. But now when you leave, you got to remember the headstone wasn't on the disciples. So then there's a Christ to be understood about in the headstone that would use the same scripture, you know, all God was, or the quote from the prophet, all God was, he poured into Christ, and all Christ in the church.
Right.
See, that has to just keep, everything has to keep going.
Right.
Yeah. So then he's Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the faith of the fathers. Amen. But Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the headstone. Because it's a deeper understanding. That's why from Brother Branham, when he got through preaching the seals, look where he went. Christ's a mystery. Who is this Melchizedek? Things that are to be. Every one of them was into eternity. It became a brand new book. But he didn't stop reading the scriptures. He'd take the same scriptures for preaching Christ's a mystery that he took when he was preaching it in the 50s. But it's just deeper understanding. So the faith of the fathers is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But see, the headstone will come out and reveal more of that same scripture. There's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It just keeps unfolding. That's why the cornerstone, the headstone's the Word. It's the same stone. Anything else? Okay. Who'll be next? Brother Dean.
Thinking about the Galatians 3:16. At the bottom of the pyramid, this is what's birthed in a person.
Right.
It's Galatians 3:16, seed,
exactly.
Jesus Christ, singular.
Right.
So the seed is what is expanding in a person. It's the birth of the word, the birth of the seed, that's bringing you up through the stature of the perfect man, or birthing the virtues in you. And it's like a baby being born.
Exactly.
When you feed a baby, the baby grows at one time, all of it. You don't just grow feet and then grow a head, then grow hands. It's God is cementing or putting together. The only way that it can be put together, that it takes God to do this, to make manifest the seed.
Right.
So somewhere in here, God identifies your justification.
Exactly.
He identifies and vindicates your sanctification and your baptism of the Holy Spirit inside your soul. As he brings you up and he's finishing or doing the works and brings you to the faith of the fathers, which is the very person of himself that died on the cross at Calvary without the anointing of the thunders, that's what he has to produce through the seed.
Exactly.
The seed. And then he comes there, and according to Revelation 10:1, the mighty angel, it comes down, and if you go into 2, he says he takes you to Revelation 5:7,
right,
to where he takes the book.
See? Exactly.
And the prophet of God, it was identified in him. He said, a lamb stands here with a book in his hand.
Amen.
See, the seed was being totally identified right there to that person. That's why there's so few that this is going to happen. But I was studying, and as a matter of fact, today, there in the Church Age book, I was out walking to listen to Brother Richard preach, and I was thinking about what the prophet of God said there. I was thinking about the seed. And he said, when he said in the Church Age book, he said, out of the true seed. Now just hold on with this one. He said, out of the true seed, God would present Christ.
Exactly.
See, with a bride, a virgin bride, without created dogmas. But I began to think, I said, Lord, now, he didn't say he'd present God, Christ, with a church. I mean, with a church. He said, out of the true seed. He didn't say out of the true church. He said out of the true seed.
Exactly.
So Galatians 3:16, this message is a seed.
Amen.
And the only seed that's going to take you into change of the body.
Right.
So out of the true seed now, there's people that's in this message. They're in the true seed.
Amen.
They have the true seed, but they're not the church.
Right.
So it's going to have to be some dividing here among some people.
Right.
He said, never congregation. He says, make believers, unbelievers, and believers.
Right.
He said, it ain't a church, it ain't what full of hypocrites.
Right.
So we need to, it's going to take this word that has been preached, and I'll say here, that has been made manifest here. See, God, let's say, Brother Brown said this. He said, if I can study and pray and be anointed and come out to preach, and if you're not in the same anointing, it won't do a bit of good.
Exactly.
So there's the problem. Right there, there's a big problem. It's not any problem with the seed.
No.
I'm talking about the seed is perfect. The seed is perfect. It's the way it's perceived.
Exactly.
It's not got the faith mixed with it, or it's not had the revelation. So I just simply say the Galatians 3:16, which is Christ Jesus in me, in my new birth, birthed the word in me, and it don't produce, then it wasn't birthed.
Right? Exactly.
So it produces a life. If we know the message, we can see where a prophet of God would use a little washwoman going by her daily duties as adoption, or a little brother with a lunch pail on his arm.
Right.
See, we can quote all these things, but we can't bring it from Galatians 3:16.
Right.
And Galatians 3:16, in its finality, is Hebrews 13:8, standing in a human being in every way.
Right.
Believing everything that God says, he says, have patience with God.
Right.
Believe God would do what he promised that he would do. So that's what's happening in that statue of perfect man. When God brings you up, when you are birthed by the seed of God,
right,
and he brings you through this because the time calls for it, there's five musts and three right. must nots that exactly. can only be made manifest in the end time people
right.
with this seed. Out of the true seed, there's a false there. Now, there's a truth there. There, but there's only a true church that comes out of the
Amen.
True seed
right.
that produces the change of the body and rapture
right.
or the entire revelation of Jesus Christ in human beings that's
right.
going to call the dead all the way from Abel back.
Exactly.
Yeah. I see this because I had a person, I hope I'm not going too long.
Go ahead.
But I heard some people call me or talk to me today, and they're trying to preach the gifts back in the church. And they were quoting Brother Branham. He said, any church that hadn't got the gifts
exactly.
will answer for it.
Exactly.
He said, the gifts are for to keep the church clean.
Exactly.
But now, the gifts don't bring the word. The word
right.
brings the gifts.
Amen.
They got it backwards.
Right.
They got the thing backwards.
Exactly.
See? So it's the word. I don't, Brother Sam, I don't worry about it. But God, I saw God do it. And God does his own gifts, works his own
Amen.
Gifts. So I don't have, I mean, if you got the word and we got the word, just hang on, have patience, wait
sure.
on God.
Exactly.
Just wait on God.
God
will take care of, he's going to take care of us. There ain't a bit of doubt in my mind. I've never been so convinced and so positive in my life.
Right.
I know what it'll do to you, Brother Sam.
It'll kill you.
it'll bring you down. It'll bring that humility into your soul, spirit,
right.
and body. That if a person can't see it, they're blind.
Right.
And I tell you something, brother. They turned Jesus Christ down too.
Right.
That message. Now there's Galatians 3:16, which is the word, the message, and it's pure. It's pure. So when it's in somebody that's braining, they're gonna turn you down.
Sure.
He even
sure.
said that you would be shut out. You wouldn't even be able
right.
to preach. I know this myself. By being a minister myself, I see it myself in my own self. So. And I see it in you. I see it in others. They're not calling this one like it is. They're not calling different ones. They're not just not doing it. It's identifying a day and a time and a second and a moment that we're living in.
Right.
It ought to give you courage.
Right. Amen.
I mean, you're walking in, like you said a while ago, I don't care. What's happening? It doesn't matter. God's
right.
in control.
Right.
He said, all things work together to the good of them that love the Lord, which are the called according to his purpose. So
right.
I need to find my purpose. You
right.
need to find your purpose.
It's right there in the Word.
We're walking in. It's got to be in the Word.
Right. It's right there in the Word.
And let me say one last thing, Brother Sam. Matthew 24:13 says, those that endure to the end, the
right.
same shall be saved. If you read the Scriptures, this is Matthew 24 is where he preached six seals.
Right.
Where Jesus preached six seals, that's where the prophet, vindicated prophet of God
right.
preached six seals. If you see this, we have an endurance to do that nobody's ever done before.
Exactly.
And he tells us how we're going to endure. There's what you have preached is the only way, and others, is the only way that we'll be able to endure this.
Right.
Because there's things here and coming that we ain't never seen before.
Right.
And we, with the word of God, with the statue of the perfect man, the literal statue of the perfect man, the very literal life of Jesus Christ, again in human flesh, right here, is the only way we're going to endure this.
Exactly.
And that's the word.
Only he.
That's right.
Could do as the prophet said. He said no man could die like that man died.
That's right.
Is that what he said?
Thank you, Lord.
There's no way that no man in the world could die like Jesus died. You say you can be beat, you can be done. No, but he died of a broken heart. That's a whole lot worse than all of the beating and everything. Nobody can do that. But you know what? If he comes back here again, he can do it again. He can do it in me and you.
Brother, he said in the fourth seal, Brother Brown said, a lamb stands here with a book in his hand, there goes a white horse rider. He said, see, there's another person. And the fourth seal
right.
calls him dead.
Exactly.
And we see him defeated.
Right.
Where is he defeated at?
Right.
Way back yonder when he wrote the book? He was defeated on Calvary.
Exactly.
And we're just now, by that same Calvary, we are the blood by the Spirit. We are the life of God by the Spirit that he brought
Amen.
Inside of us. And through this, we have defeated him. We're more than victorious.
Exactly.
I don't care what we look like. We don't look too good in the mirror.
No.
And maybe not to each other.
No.
I don't know. But he said the church that Jesus Christ is coming for is the one that's one with him and one with each other. In
right.
him.
Exactly.
He said that's the church that Jesus is coming for.
Right.
Let me say this way. That's the one he's come to take, to claim and take. That's what Revelation 5:7 does.
That is
his
coming.
Claim. Yeah. That's exactly right.
That is his coming. In you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See? Because you go, when I get through with all of the quotes and give them to you about the headstone and the thing, and just remember the message I tried to preach, you know, about how that the ministry's got to be here. You know that headstone, that same God that was back there, that walked off the earth there, is the only way you and I walk off this earth. He's got to be here as the headstone in the people, but not as a human element. You know, it's in you. It's in you. That's who he's going to confound, confuse the world, because he's going to be in you. They just can't see it that way. Amen. Anything else? Anything else but it? Anybody else? Yes, sir.
He is confirming his word.
Exactly.
I'm saying he is a witness that he has confirmed it.
Amen. I believe that.
I don't care what nobody says. It don't matter if I have to walk by myself, and that's the way each of us has to be. Well, if you have to walk by yourself, you're walking in the confirmation of God.
Exactly. Exactly.
When too much. All things.
Too much has been made manifest for me not to believe it.
That's right. Right. Amen.
I've seen everything but the dead raised and blinded eyes open. You know, I've seen all that, but you know, I've never prayed for anybody dead.
Yes, you
That's
did.
Just the point of it. That's, you know, naturally dead people. I've never done it. Even when Sister Hazel was here, I just never felt like praying for her. I mean, here she was, and laying right down here. And it just never, I didn't want to pray for her. He said, well, why? Don't ask me. I just didn't have any desire to pray for her to be raised up. You think as a human I wouldn't want to see her raised up? But it was just something. I'm just telling you sometimes, and wait 3 days from now, I'll let you know something. Anybody else? Let's talk.
I don't know if I can get this out this right or not, but all these other guys we got in the world, Mohammed and one over in Asia, this guy here, it proved that he's the resurrection.
Exactly.
Because he come down here and went through all that. Anybody can die.
Sure.
I mean, people die every day, but they can't, none of them come back and produce a resurrection.
Yeah.
So that's, I thought about that last night. I said, you know, anybody can die. I mean, people die just coming and going.
Sure.
But they can't resurrect, and they can't cause others to resurrect.
Right.
That's the trick.
There you go.
Right there is making that word manifest. And that just kind of, bless my heart.
Amen.
To show anybody in any country that this guy called Jesus Christ is the real God. He's the real thing, because he resurrected, and he come and hung at Calvary to where others could resurrect.
Right.
And it's I don't know if anybody else ever thought about it that way, but
right. He is risen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
He's
main
alive. Thing.
He is risen. Amen. Anybody else? Hey.
I don't know all the gifts, but I want you to read all the gifts. But everybody thinks that gifts are like speaking in tongues and all that. That don't have to be the gift that you've got in this church. I mean, you could have the gift of wisdom. He didn't say you had to have every gift. He said you need one gift, and I'd like to have all of them, but if you don't have but one, and in our mind, we usually think speaking in tongues and interpretation and prophecy and all that, that's the only three gifts that we think they are, but there's more gifts than that, and if we don't have them three, if we have wisdom here or anybody's church, I mean, or any other gift, we're not liking them.
Right. Exactly. I like that scripture. He that lacketh these things is blind. But if you've got one of them, you don't lack it. That may not mean nothing to you, but I love that scripture. Because what a little bit I have. Like Peggy's saying about the gifts. If we've got nothing more than just one, we don't like it. I just love to see them all. Because I want to see Christ. Right? I want to see Christ live for what he wants. Who?
Just to get her hand up next.
Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to say you can scratch one of those. You said you'd never seen blinded eyes open, but you've seen my eyes.
Yeah.
A half a church, or a whole church, right. I hope, that you've seen the blinded eyes open.
Amen.
I appreciate that.
Amen. I believe that. I'd rather have that than the physical. I just believe in everything of God is of God, and you know, let's just let that be made manifest.
Right.
Let him come down to heal your broken toenail, because that's part of Calvary.
Right. Right.
All of the manifestation. Yeah.
Well, I just got if you've got the new birth, you've got the giver.
Right.
He can use you for anything he wants.
Exactly.
To. And I he says seek to hire. And see, to me, that's revelation.
Right.
And there is a gift of ministry.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't realize that a preacher that's there is anointed. God has gifted that brother. I mean, that's a gift. And there's a fivefold ministry.
Right.
And you
right.
know what? If a person's spiritual, and I'm talking about truly by the word spiritual and led of the Holy Ghost, they can listen to one that's ministering, and they'll know the type that God has called him to do.
Right.
Then you can draw from that.
Exactly.
But if you don't know, it's just his words coming out and going, and most of them goes on instead of just channeling to you.
Yeah.
But if you got the giver, you got the gift. And yes, I believe wisdom's here.
Right.
I believe all of the gifts are here.
Amen.
But and I believe that they'll work under God's supervision.
Exactly.
And it always works by the word. God will let things go for just seems like forever. He said he said in the adoption series, and also in possessing the gates of the enemy, he said he lets tensions come into the church.
Sure.
He lets your brother turn against you, your wife turn against you. He lets all these things, he said, and it's God's will for it to happen. These things are to test you and to try you and to prove you.
Yeah.
I mean, if we'd read, if we'd just read the word, if we'd listen to the word, we'd know what the word said. We'd know what the preacher's talking about. And so it's a lot of our fault.
Mm-hmm.
That we ain't studied and showed ourselves approved unto God.
Right.
We haven't done this enough, maybe. Or as long as confusion, because one's thinking this and one's thinking that, one's going this way, one's going that way, that's confusion. And God
exactly.
don't work like he wants to work.
Exactly.
As long as it's sound.
Right.
So the word is the only thing that'll straighten that out.
Exactly.
And if a person ain't taking correction, you know, according to Hebrews 12, all this, every son that comes to God must be chastened of God, tested, tried, proven, corrected, brother, I'm saying. See, if we'll do this, it'll prove, that's one of the greatest proofs to me of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Is that if I can stand correction, then I am his son. He said that and gave me the promise right there that I would know that I'm his.
Right.
And that gives me strength and faith.
Amen.
To stand when everything looks like it's gone and I am by myself.
Right. That's what God wants.
Oh, forgive me for talking to us.
Amen. Who's next?
Papa wanted you to read the 9 spiritual gifts. That's what she asked you to do.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
That's one.
That's in what, Galatians?
1 Corinthians.
Is it 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just start verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now let me say this. People say, I can use a gift anytime I want to. You are wrong. preaching or speaking in tongues don't make no difference. It don't work that way. You don't use the gift. The gift uses you. You speak in tongues, the Bible says, as the Spirit giveth utterance. A sermon I bring as God gives utterance. If it don't, I'm just talking to you. But just to say that point, see. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So you can't do that because you can't call him Lord. You can't do it. All right, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of the Spirit, given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. All right. Yeah. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The nine spiritual gifts. Well, see, the reason I said Galatians, you go over to Galatians, and see, to me, the gifts is like saying it this way. Brother Brown said the virtues. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temper, patience. If you notice, then he'll say, love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness. You know. I mean, he's just going right down the line. Where's he at? He's in Galatians, if I can find it. Galatians 5, is that where it is? Yeah. Okay. Now you can go through all of the envies, the murders, strife. Go down to verse 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, the nine spiritual gifts is that in manifestation. What? Love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, long-suffering, etc. is the same as saying the gifts over here, which is the same thing as saying virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, kindness. Brother Brown just put it all together, talking about the nine spiritual gifts and talking about the stature of perfect man, because that's what it is. But it's the working of the Spirit of God. There's people here that have gifts that don't use those gifts. And I've been taught with some personally, encouraged them to use those gifts that they have. All right? I said, don't worry about it. If it gets out of order, we'll take care of it. Yeah. We'll take care of it if it gets out of order. You know, don't worry about using the gifts, because you want it, the gift working. But at the same time, you're not supposed to seek gifts. See, that's where people's wrong. You don't seek gifts. You're born with the gift. The Holy Ghost activates it. Whether it's speaking in tongues or knowledge or wisdom or whatever it is, or which one it is, or you're born with that gift. It just takes the Holy Ghost to activate that. Because that's the way I used to do in school, to show you the same ministry I use today. You know what I used to do in school? I always love in school to get it into a debate. And I always was tickled to death them give me the wrong side. You know, I mean, the side that he was wrong. And before the class was over, I pretty well win the argument about it. Because, you know, but that, see, it was something working there. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, it activates that. Not to argue and fuss, but to just come right down the line. We believe in the gifts, but the most of all is love. That's what I've tried to tell you the other day there about it. Say this, anybody else in the hurry? What I tried to say the other day, did you understand it? See, that pyramid, that love, that's a pyramid by itself. That's a pyramid by itself. All right? Everything that's in the pyramid can be up in the headstone. Because it's a pyramid by itself. But everything that's until they're united, see, the stature of a perfect man doesn't have everything in it that the headstone has. But the headstone has everything that everything else has. So let's just get him here, Brother Aaron. Let's just get him here. And he's the Word.
I was going to say, going back to what Brother Tom had said about, you know, different religions coming. You know, before Jesus ever came, you know, the Word was spoken by all the prophets that they came. And, you know, he said the prophets built the body. When he came and walked forth on the earth, he had all this Scripture, and he kept telling them, go back to the Scripture. You know, the Scripture speaks of me. Mm-hmm. The Scripture, you know. And, he, you know, when he walked up there and he said, you know, tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it again. You know, he described his death and of all the things that was going to take place, but he knew what was going to take place, and that's the reason he kept telling them how everything was going to take place. And, you know, it's such a wonderful thing to see, because you were talking about people saying we're capstone people. You know, I've heard that probably most of my life, how everybody's talked about we're capstone people. But, you know, people failed to see the cornerstone.
Right.
And, you know, they think, well, just because we're in this age, we're going to receive the headstone. Well, true, but it's to the people that's had the cornerstone.
Amen.
And, you know, it's so many times we've seen that if you don't understand it, as Brother Branham came and he had to preach the Word back so that we could have the headstone.
Right.
You know, all those years of bringing back the Word. But see, that's where people have messed up. They can't see because people want to see the prophet's message, but they don't want to see that he had to take all these years to bring the Word back.
Right.
To come back to lay a foundation that we could advance. And you know, that's what thrills me, is that now we've received the Word, because I've heard this, and, you know, like you've said so many times, you know, there's like a ladder, and, you know, how do you get up there? If you don't start on the first rung and work your way up, the rest of it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And, you know, it just seemed like it, like you said, you know, don't make it so far off that you'll never reach it, but don't make it so close that you'll fall into it.
Exactly.
Because, you know, sometimes people have tried to make it so great and so wonderful and so far off that you'll never reach that place. Only Brother Branham could reach that place.
Yeah.
Or everybody's preached it where, you know, you're just born with it. But, you know, I see that, you know, that the Word is preached, that, you know, you've got to go back to and see, where's the foundation? What is the foundation?
Exactly.
And if you don't have a foundation, then the rest of it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Until you get the foundation laid. And then from there, the Lord can work and build up. As he said, you know, the Holy Ghost will come and he reveals the Word to you that you'll have a foundation. And he's leading you all the way up. But you see where you're going. And you see people have not, like you said, people didn't preach have not preached the new birth. So people have no idea where they're at.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm so thankful, so thrilled that God has come and he's showed me where to start at.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he said that so much confusion. But now we know where to stand.
Right.
Where to start at.
Exactly.
And if we just yield ourselves to him, then he'll lead us.
Right.
And he'll guide us all the way. But we have to trust in him. And I thank God for that.
Right.
And I just want to say one other thing. Brother Branham said in the message, discernment of spirit, you know, said every believer had a measure of discernment of spirit, which is one of the gifts.
Exactly.
Because, you know, that you have to be able to discern the spirit.
Right.
But if you lean on, if you trust him, he'll guide you and he'll show you the spirit that's truth or not.
Right. Exactly. He didn't give you the Holy Ghost to lose you.
All right.
He gave you the Holy Ghost to be your leader, director, advocate, whatever. He gave you the Holy Ghost to be that. Anybody else?
First thing, yes. I wonder, Mother, if we really believe all that's been preached and all that's been said tonight, I wonder sometimes, If when it comes to Sundays and Wednesdays or Tuesdays, whatever that God would permit, if we believe the gifts was working correctly here, would we come through them doors on a Wednesday and a Sunday night, or Sunday and Sunday? Now, we have to question ourselves on that. We have to ask ourselves that question. Would we be willing, knowing that the gifts, he said, they'll call it out. The gifts will call it out. That's why he said the gifts would keep the church clean.
Right.
Now, if we've got the word, if we've got the word, and we claim we got the word, and if we, and I'm, when we say we claim we got the word, right, we're claiming that we have the revelation of Almighty God to create all things by himself and for himself, and we see his condescension, we see it right up to where we're sitting right now in Christ the mystery God revealed. He said right here to the side, to that, you'll see. You'll see, he said that. And he turned directly to Colossians 1. And it, can we go to Colossians 1? If we had this revelation, would we be willing, knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to call out whatever it is in our lives that's wrong, would we be willing to come in them doors,
yeah,
on a Wednesday or in Sunday or whatever day, right, it would be?
Exactly.
Now, that's a scary thing.
Right.
I don't know about you, but it makes me tremble.
Right.
It's something to think about.
Right.
Thank you, brother.
But let me say one word. The word always calls out the error in every one of us. If we don't do anything about it, that's our problem. The word always corrects the error. See, I don't understand why people are afraid of gifts and working of gifts. I'm on the spot every time I come out here. I mean, when I come preach, I'm on the spot. Why would you be worried about it? You know, are you afraid to use your gift? I'm not afraid of the gifts. I talked to a man down in Atlanta one time, and they had people that said he had gifts. And this is what I said to him. I said, if the Lord ever tells you anything about me, don't worry about it. You just tell me something to that degree. Been 35 years ago. But I said, just remember that if he does call it out, I'm wanting it straight. And you'll know that also. See, that's why I'm not afraid of gifts. Because see, if a man's got a gift, and he can look down inside of me and see something wrong, he'll look deep enough, he'll see there's something inside of there wanting to be right. Right? See, everybody else just wants to find that upward part. And just something happened. You know. I had to talk to a man one time years ago, my wife is a witness, because he made a statement about a sister in his home that was real derogatory. And he was showing it like his discernment was doing it. And that sister come to me and said, Brother Dale, there's nothing wrong. I said, I believe you. And she told me what something was. I went to the man. I said, Brother, and you told that sister that. I said, that wasn't right out in front of everybody, because it made it look like she was a bad girl. I said, she's a good girl. And I said, you made it look like that she was had man problems. But I said, Brother, she worked at a baby clothes factory. And you was trying to make it look like that was something bad. See, he'd used a gift, but it didn't turn out right. I'm not afraid of a gift. I'm not afraid of anybody coming in here and calling out anything we have wrong, because I want it right. But like I said, if you look deep enough, I've made that statement over and over, and you may not understand it. I wouldn't care for nobody ever, I wouldn't care for my wife to ever hear, ever thought I had about her. But just remember the end thought. I wouldn't care for you knowing every thought I ever had about you. But just go deep enough to hear the end of it. And you'll see there's something down inside of there. If I knew there was a prophet in the land that was a real true prophet, I'd try my best to get him to come here. And if you wouldn't be willing to come up here and sit down and let him call it out, then you'd be openly admitting that there's something wrong with you and you need to be an altar. That's as plain as I can put it. Anybody else before we go?
Right. If somebody comes in there operating their own gift, you said it a while ago. I agree.
Like I said, they come in here thinking they're operating their own gifts. They something went wrong. Mm-hmm. So the word that has been preached to us ought to be so in preeminence in our lives that we'll know the difference. Because right. He said, we'll know our God. We'll know our God. You know what he said in the book of Daniel? We'll know it. So we'll know when this thing is operating right or wrong.
Exactly.
And I mean, this is a serious, dangerous thing.
Amen.
Because when you fall in the hands of the living God, you better know that you got your new birth.
Right.
And you better know it. Because you can be deceived. Now, people comes out with things. You know, they said there in Deuteronomy 13, he said, if a dreamer or a prophet tells you something, it's going to come to pass, and it comes to pass, and leads you to another God. It ain't going to lead you to Buddha, here. Like Tom said, or no. Mohammedanism.
No.
No, we're talking about our day, right here.
Another doctrine.
That's exactly right. Another word that's off one. Right. One word right there. He says, then these things that are trying to test you and to prove you.
Sure.
God lets things come in to test you and see you. And we've all seen this.
Right.
And I thank God for the word that's been preached to us.
Thank God for the truth.
That's right.
Thank God for anybody else before we go here at 9 o'clock. Just remember us tomorrow night. We'll be traveling, and I'll remember Joyce and Lisa and them coming back in tomorrow, and pray that the Lord would help them to get in, because when we're going to have to wait till they get in before we can leave going out, you know, and that's no problem, but it will be, you know, they will all be traveling, and they're going to come in, jump out, and jump in, and here we're going again. So, you know, just pray that the Lord would bless us as we travel. And look forward to a weekend. We're going to have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday services, and then leave Sunday afternoon and try to drive back a little piece, you know, and spend a night and all. But we'll, you know, you need us, keep in touch and everything. And you'll remember we'll be praying for you. Gary, I didn't know that Rebecca was going. That'll be the 7th. See, and that's the day we're coming back. And I didn't know that. If I'd known it, I would. We'd have never made it that way. I didn't know it. Had I known, I would have just said, no, I'm not going, because it's 7th. It's a thyroid operation and things. But, you know, but anyhow, just pray. Let's stand. Test. Okay, she's doing it for the test. Good, then. All right, I understood it was an operation. You see, I only get half in the back room, okay? Somebody keep me kind of informed, because I only hear half of what's going on. All right, let's just sing a song. Anybody have a need? Over again to
you, wonderful word of love, and before it's
anybody else? Wonderful word, wonderful word of life. Anybody else that just have a need?
Wonderful word of life. Call. Wonderful word of life.
So freely given.
Beautiful word, wonderful word, wonderful word.
Our brother needs healing for the body. He said, I believe I'm healed and I'm walking into it. Let's believe. Father, we lay our hands upon our brother and in the sick one. How did he come back upon us? Thank you.
again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of his beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Oh, so feel your gift. Give me beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Just remember Richard, he went back to work today.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Yeah. And just be with him, that God would give him strength and everything.
Right.
And helping him in the office a little, and you know. So the Lord will be with him and take care of him. Let's just pray and believe that. But just pray that the Lord would bless us as we travel tomorrow night and everything, and give us a safe journey and a good time together in the Lord. All right? Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for tonight, Lord, and thank you for your people. Thank you for the comments and the things that said, Lord. We believe it. And we just rest upon you, Lord, because there's nothing in none of us. We're sorry for the way that we are because we're human mortals, and that's no excuse. But we ask you to just help us and guide us. That's why we believe that you are our advocate. You are the one that stands in our way. You're our token, Lord. And we pray that you would just guide each and every one. Now bless on the way home. Give a safe journey. And be with us tomorrow as we travel, Lord, in the time we go, and be with Joyce and Lisa and them as they're traveling home tomorrow, Father. And just let your love be made manifest. Give a safe journey, Lord, and give us of your grace, because we go for you. And we go to try to speak about you and to talk about you with our brothers and sisters. And Father, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus is your name. Amen. You're dismissed. Mm-hmm.